I had frequently, before this time, had many powerful temptations to put an end to my miserable life, but now I was fully determined to do it, for a thought struck my mind that the longer I lived in the world, the more sin I should commit, and the more sin I committed, the greater would be my damnation. So that I concluded that the sooner I did the deed, the less sin I should have to answer for. Several times I went into my bedroom with my razor, being fully determined to cut my throat. But instead of so doing, was always obliged to fall upon my knees and implore the Lord that if it were possible, he would show mercy to one so vile as I. And then again a fresh sight of the justice of God in a righteous law brought me to believe it was impossible for God to have mercy upon me as for him to cease to exist. I think I shall never forget the night before God delivered my poor soul. Fully resolved to destroy myself, I went on Saturday about midnight to a pool of water, making as I proceeded thither a solemn vow that nothing should prevent my fulfilling my purpose. When I got to the pool, oh, the dreadful view I had of the majesty, justice, and holiness of God in a righteous law. I saw as clearly as the sun at noonday that the law was holy, just, and good, that God had done me no injustice, and that the whole cause of my damnation was in myself. I had such a sight of God's grand perfections of holiness that I knelt down before him and told him I could justify him before men and devils. I said a solemn amen to my own damnation, and indeed I did not want a salvation that was dishonoring to so holy and so just a God. After having been a short time exercised with these thoughts, I rose up to take a leap into the pool, when these words sounded in my ears as loud to my thinking as if a man had called them out to me, "Who can tell?" I made a dead stand and said, "What can that be? Who can tell?" The words sounded again and again in my very soul, and something seemed to spring up in my heart and thus interpret them, "Who can tell but God may yet have mercy upon my poor soul?" Manasseh, the thief upon the cross, Saul of Tarsus, Mary Magdalene, and many others have experienced his pardoning mercy. And who can tell but that poor wretch John Warburton may find mercy yet? This put a stop to drowning myself. I felt my heart a little softer, and if ever my soul went out to prayer, I believe it was then. I began to feel a little hope shine into me. "Who can tell," thought I, "but what God will at length hear my prayer?" I made up my mind that as the next day was Sunday, I would go in the morning to Manchester and try once more to obtain a little consolation. I have been many times to Manchester and other places, far and near, in search of a little comfort for my soul, but all of no use. This was the last day I meant to try. After breakfast, I set out for Manchester, and oh, the exercises of my mind upon the road. I stood still and thought I would turn back, for I thought that it was impossible for God to show mercy upon me and be just. I determined to turn back again. Then the words, "Who can tell," came again into my mind, and hope seemed to rise up within me, and with a maybe the Lord will have be merciful to me, a poor lost sinner. That text was, for a few moments, very sweet to me. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. 1 Timothy 1 verse 15. Oh, how my very soul cried unto God that he would save me, the very chief, the very vilest of the vile. And then with what exceeding sweetness and preciousness did the words come into my mind. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Habakkuk 2, verse 3. Oh, how strengthened and encouraged was my poor soul. And I went on hoping and praying that the Lord would meet me in mercy. In the morning I went to Mosley Street Chapel, and soon after I was seated, a solemn old man ascended the pulpit. And oh, how my soul trembled for fear lest he should bear a message from God to me of wrath and condemnation. What distress and horror I felt when in reading the chapter he came to these words, "Cursed is every one that continueth not in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them." I can never express the thousandth part of all the misery and sense of guilt that I endured. I saw that my soul was doomed to certain destruction forever and ever. What the old man preached about I could not tell, but this I knew, that damned I was, and sometimes thought that I should have dropped into hell whilst in the chapel. The service being concluded, I wandered up and down from street to street until I verily believed that my senses were entirely gone. I looked behind me and saw two men following me, who I was afraid were coming to take me to the madhouse. The first place where I could sit down and vent my grief was St. George's Church, and seeing no person near, I sat down on the steps and wept until I had no more power to weep. After some time I got up and thought I would go home and put an end to my miserable life. "Yes," said I will come to an end and know the worst at once." On my way home, as I thought, I got into Cannon Street, and observing a chapel there into which people were crowding, I remembered that it was the chapel of Mr. Roby, to which I had once or twice been in company with my mother. I stopped and said, "Shall I go in?" "No," thought I will not. The minister will take that text, "Cursed is every one that continueth not in all things written in the book of the law to do them." I proceeded a short distance down the street and stopped again. "Who can tell?" came once more into my mind. "Well," said I can but be damned. And so I came to the resolution of going into the chapel, and "if I perish," said I perish. If ever I entered a place of worship with the feeling cry that God were, if it were possible, show me mercy to one in so desperate a case, I believe I did then. When seated in the chapel, all the horrors of hell seemed to come upon me. I trembled from head to foot and wished that I had never come in. At the conclusion of the first hymn, Mr. Roby went to prayer, and towards the end of it, he dropped a few words which I believed were for nobody but me. He begged God that if there was anyone present who had come to make a last trial of his mercy, he would show himself to such a one as his God. It was with hard work that I could keep from calling out, "Yes, here is poor lost John Warburton. Here I am, come to make the last trial." Oh, how my soul went out to God in prayer that he would appear for me. The prayer being finished, another hymn was sung previous to the sermon. All my little hope seemed dashed to pieces, when I saw the minister take his Bible from the cushion to find his text. Oh, thought I, he is certainly seeking for that awful text, and which has so torn my heart asunder all these months. What shall I do if he takes that text, cursed is every one, etc.? Oh, what shall become of me? I must drop into hell if he take that. Oh, the feelings I experienced. I could not imagine why he delayed so long to put the Bible upon the cushion. At last he did so, and I saw that it was opened about the middle. Blessed be God, my soul whispered, the text is not cursed is every one that continueth not in all things written in the book of the law to do them. Oh, the expectation that sprung up within me. Do, Lord, pardon my sins. Do, Lord, have mercy upon my poor lost soul burst from my heart. And when Mr. Roby read his text, oh, the wonder and the glory that shone into my soul. The precious text was, Thou hast ascended on high, and thou hast led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them. And Psalm 68, verse 18. Oh, the love, peace, and joy that broke into my heart as the words came out of his mouth. They were truly sweeter to my soul than 10,000s of gold and silver. I wondered again with astonishment, and said in my soul, What can this mean? Where are my sins? What can be the meaning of all this? Where is my burden and the wrath and terror I've had for so many months? And again the text flowed into my soul, And thou hast led captivity captive, And thou hast received gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious, that the Lord God might dwell amongst them. Oh, I knew not where to hide my poor face. My soul kept whispering, Surely it cannot mean me. Is it a dream? Is it a dream? I looked for my sins, for my burden, for the wrath and misery I had so long carried in my poor distracted soul, and could find neither guilt nor sins, wrath nor bondage. For the Savior of my soul had taken them all away. Such a sight of his sufferings and death shined into my soul as broke my heart to pieces. Oh, how I looked on him and mourned. What have I done? Cried I. I have crucified the Lord. Oh, my cursed sins that drove the nails into his hands and feet and thrust the spear into his heart. Oh, wretch, wretch that I am, and canst thou, wilt thou save and pardon me, notwithstanding all my cursed sins? How wonderfully was my soul led to see that the dear Savior had fulfilled and obeyed that holy law which I had broken in 10,000 instances, that all my cursed sins had been laid upon him, and that he had suffered in my room instead. I had so blessed a sight by faith of his feet and hands nailed to the cross, of the crown of thorns upon his head, and of the spear entering his heart, and his redeeming blood flowed with such peace and love and joy and liberty into my soul that I hardly knew what or where I was. The poor things who sat in the same seat kept jogging me with their elbows to sit still, but it was impossible for me to sit still or to lie still. Oh, the love I felt to my dear Savior for such unmerited kindness to one so vile, to the vilest wretch that ever was on the earth. I can never express a thousandth part of the hatred I felt against my cursed sins, which pierced the Lord of life and glory. When the service was over, I went down the street blessing, thanking, wondering, praising, and adoring the God of my salvation, for text upon text flowed in upon my soul, one after another, with so much power that sometimes I was obliged to hold my hand upon my mouth to prevent myself from shouting aloud in the street. On my way home, I got into the fields as soon as I could, and when out of the sight and hearing of every human being, I shouted, I leaped, I danced, I thanked and praised my dear Jesus with all my might, until my bodily strength was so gone that I fell upon the ground and there lay, firmly believing that I was upon the point of going to heaven to be with my dear Lord and Savior. Oh, what cause of holy wonder I saw in God's being a just God and yet a Savior. That holy law that had been my terror for months, which had cursed me for every thought, word, and deed, I now saw completely honored and righteously fulfilled in Christ. And how precious were these words, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to every one that believeth. Romans 10, verse 4. Whilst another text came upon the back of it, with so much power, sweetness, majesty, and glory, that it overwhelmed me with adoration, praise, and thanksgiving. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. Galatians 3:16. I saw and believed and felt that Christ had stood in my law place instead, and that all the wrath and damnation which I had deserved at the hands of a just God had been laid upon Jesus. I saw that he had stood as my surety and bondsman, had atoned for all my sins, and magnified the law, and made it honorable in so holy a way that there could be no condemnation either from heaven, earth, or hell. My poor soul was so carried away with the transports of joy that if anybody had seen me, they would have supposed that I had just escaped from Bedlam, for I shouted, danced, and clapped my hands with sweet delight. It was indeed a heaven upon earth. Those precious words of David were the very feelings of my heart at that time. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Psalm 103, 1 through 4. I was blessing and praising God all my way home. My poor wife had been very uneasy on my account, for it was a very late hour when I reached home. But no wonder, for every tree of the field, every bird of the air, every beast and insect, even to the crawling worm, furnished me with matter of songs, wonder, and praise. They were all new to me. In all of them I could see the hand of my Father and my God. I could not help telling my wife the comfort which I had received. God, I told her, had pardoned all my sins. I was sure of going to heaven, for Christ had suffered and died for me upon the cross. Poor thing! At that time she could not endure anything like religion. Yet I could not conceal from her the blessing I had received. I told her of the dreadful state she was in, and how awful a thing it would be for her to die in it. I then told her how the Lord had appeared for me, and what he had suffered for my poor soul, and how he had pardoned all my sins. The poor thing thought I was out of my mind, but I told her I was saying nothing but the truth, that all my sins have been actually pardoned and taken away by my Savior Jesus Christ, and that I desired henceforth to live and die, praising and adoring him for his wonderful goodness to one so vile. In this happy state of liberty, peace, and praise, I lived for months. In every chapter of the Bible that I read, I could see something new and exceedingly sweet and precious to my soul. His words were found, and I did eat them, and they were unto me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. Nothing could I see in the heavens above, or upon the earth beneath, but his love, power, mercy, grace, and loving kindness. I was preaching Jesus Christ and his preciousness to every one with whom I could get to talk, and ignorantly thought that all who went to chapel would be ready to rejoice with me. But alas, I was wonderfully deceived. For when at the first prayer meeting which I went to, I told them what great things the Lord had done for my soul, how he had delivered me from the curse of the law, and had been made a curse for me, having died in my room instead, how he had finished my transgressions, and made a complete end of all my sins. When I told them these things, and how God had made them known to my soul, convincing me that there was now no condemnation for me, and that I was as sure of going to heaven as that Christ was there, poor things, they could not tell what to make of me. Some laughed, some pitied, some called it nothing but wildfire, whilst others warned me not to be too secure. I kept them as long as I could persuade any of them to stay and listen, relating to them every particular, how I was and where I was and how it came to my soul and how happy I was. I could have stayed all night, for it was my meat and drink to tell what great things the Lord had done for my soul.